Hey, I'm Carolyn with the Mysterious Multiverse, and I'm here with
Amy
Tristan
and Jason.
and today's topic is a really big one. We're talking about aliens.
UFOs and
All the things.
all the
Oh, there's
things.
so many.
I know I'm excited about this
Such a
topic.
huge topic.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Did you want to start? Looks like you've got a little bit of research there. Or I could give a little something something and then set you on your way.
Go ahead.
All
Set me
right.
on my way.
So,
show him the light.
Beam me up, Scotty.
There we go.
So, I think an excellent introduction for most people is a photograph, and I think it's probably the most important photograph that has ever been taken. And I'm always surprised at how many people don't know about it. I've always been interested in watching the stars and following the moon. And years ago, when the Hubble Space Telescope got put out into our outer space, I was elated. And then I found out that, the mirror was out of shape, and it took many years for them to get out there and fix the mirror. But when they did, all these beautiful pictures started coming back. And everything was just amazing. Every image of all the things that are happening all around us in our own solar system and in our own Milky Way galaxy were amazing. But then there was this one photo where these people got to sort of have control of the Hubble Space Telescope for a period of I think they were allotted like a day or a couple days or something. Anyway, they found a spot in the general sky, that was clear, not looking through the depth of the Milky Way, but looking through a spot in the Milky Way that was clear. And they turned the Hubble and they pointed it. If you held your hand up into the sky and you stuck your thumb out, it was looking at a patch of the sky that was as big as your thumb is. And they just held it in that one spot for an extended period of time. And all there was so much information coming back. It took a long time to patch this photo together. When they finally patched it together, it's a picture. When you first look at it, you think, oh my gosh, look at all the stars in the sky. This is amazing. But what it really is not stars in the sky. It is galaxies outside of our own galaxy. We have never seen really hardly anything outside of our own immediate solar system. And then the Hubble came along and we started seeing little things. We started seeing these things within our own Milky Way galaxy. But this one photo, which is called Deep Field, DEEP field, is just an image of nothing but other galaxies. And it is so amazingly mind-blowing. Just that one photo alone, we don't even know what's happening in our own whole solar system, let alone the hundreds of thousands of other solar systems that are in our immediate own galaxy. And now there's galaxy upon galaxy upon galaxy upon galaxy as far as you can see. And all the galaxies in that photo are in the same shot as your thumb in the sky.
That's the thing, is
It's
like,
just mind-blowing.
I mean, here on Earth, it's like, we are so tiny,
We're so
even
tiny.
in this own galaxy. But then you think of just like, all these other, like you said, I mean, there's like hundreds of thousands. I mean, it's just like it blows your mind. And to think, I to me personally, just personally here, I think if you think we're the only life forms in all of these galaxies, it's kind of like questionable almost. Like how can you
It's
even possibly
so
not even stretch your
small-minded.
mind just a teeny bit to think, my
Right.
God, there's got to be life maybe somewhere else.
There's got to be life everywhere else.
Isn't there maybe even at least an Earth in every galaxy? I mean, like even just to stretch your mind that
Every
part.
solar system. I mean, we're not even looking really outside of our own solar system. We're hoping to get from the moon to Mars in our own solar system. And then there's all these other solar systems surrounding us, which we can't even get to yet. We haven't made it that far. So, pairing this knowledge, this image, this amazingly important photograph, Hubble's Deep Field, with the knowledge that we now have of all these other things that we've been talking about in our other podcasts with energy and right. how energy exists, and we as humans only experience life forms in the wavelength that we can see and hear. And if things exist outside of the things that we can see and hear, we assume they don't exist, but mm-hmm. we haven't opened our minds enough yet to realize that there's life forms on all of the other wavelengths. Just because we can't see and hear them doesn't mean they're not there.
Exactly.
So that's part of the multiverse, multi-dimensions on our own planet. It's happening all over not only our own galaxy, but now there's hundreds of millions of other galaxies as well that also right. have all these multiple dimensions going on.
And the thing is that for people that are like, oh, I haven't been able to see it, or we haven't found it. Well, a lot of that is just because of the equipment we have right now. Like, for instance, if we put astronauts in a space shuttle, it would take them 10 years to go from Earth to Mars.
Right.
You know, that's a pretty huge, expedition.
Chunk of a lifetime. Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. So that's why we, thankfully we have the different, shuttles and stuff like that can like try to travel. And we've gotten some pictures of other planets now, which is pretty amazing. But no, we haven't had a human actually land on Mars yet.
Right.
And so I think it would be fascinating. It's like, well, if you had somebody land there and actually start scoping out the place, that'd be pretty interesting. And then we got a recent picture. It's Jupiter. Mm-hmm. And they were actually noticing how there's a lot of parts of Jupiter that actually kind of look a little bit similar to Earth. There's, there's water and there's desert and there's different, it's pretty fascinating, actually, mm-hmm. once they actually got up close pictures of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just said one thing that kind of caught my attention, that we have to open the possibility that there's a lot of people on this planet who have experienced aliens
right.
in some way.
Totally.
They have been talking about it for a long time, and people just assume that they're crazy
mm-hmm.
and that that's not a thing because they themselves haven't experienced it. So again, that also goes back to our previous podcasts and all the things that we've talked about. Like ghosts and even our previous podcast with our personal experience. Our personal mm-hmm. experience, we all had strange energetic happenings
right.
that have happened to us throughout our lives. And I bet that most people have had something that they couldn't explain, and then they just don't talk about it because right. they assume everybody else is going to think they're crazy.
Right.
And then there are the people who are still so completely closed down to things. They don't recognize things happening with themselves, and they don't allow that things might happen to other people, that if somebody does say that they had an alien experience, then they do just immediately, oh no, that's outside of the normal. That's outside of what I can deal with. And they go immediately into a place of fear, and they start thinking, anything that I don't know and I don't understand must be bad.
Right,
and
of course.
It, this can't exist. So you're wrong. Don't talk about it.
Right.
But people have been talking about it for a long time. They haven't just been talking about it recently. It's been going on really. I mean, if you really do your research on it, it's been going on for centuries.
Oh my gosh, totally. It's
embedded in our historical records. It's embedded in our historical imagery.
Completely.
Even not before photographs. It's embedded in paintings.
Art.
Mm-hmm. It's everywhere.
There's UFOs painted in, art from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
Absolutely.
And it's like,
it's carved in stone.
Oh, yeah.
Hieroglyphics
and
right?
petroglyphs and geoglyphs. And there's the Nazca lines and mm-hmm. things that are all over this planet that if you're standing on the ground, you can't see them.
Right.
So can you imagine what it was like to try and build something that was 100 feet long and is this amazing geographic pictogram on a scale that you can't even see it if you're looking at it, but if you're right. in the air, it makes perfect sense, but you exactly. can't see it.
Right.
Unless you're in the air. And that's part of the new wave of technology that's come along with with the internet and everybody being able to share stories and share information. And then
Right.
Google came along, and Google Earth came along, and now there's an entire new form of archaeology, satellite archaeology, where people are using Google Earth and they're going back and looking at all
Right.
the things all over the planet that we thought we knew, but now you can see it from above.
Right.
And things
That's super
that we
cool.
thought we knew, now all of a sudden there's hundreds more of them. Not only are in that they're in that place, they're all over the planet.
Right.
Things that we never even knew existed.
Oh my gosh, totally. So, you know, that's interesting when you're talking earlier about the shuttle, as far as the photographs. One thing I thought was really interesting is that Mars's moon Phobos, when they actually had a photograph of the monolith that was actually on that moon.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of there's been a lot of photography coming back that is showing these odd structures, things that
Right.
are not n just naturally occurring, organic shapes
Exactly.
on everything from the moon to Mars to all the moons of the planets. Anything that
Right.
almost everything that we've actually taken photographs of is showing non-natural structures.
Exactly. Not to mention, of course, just going right back to our home planet here on Earth, I mean, all the different structures that are we can't explain. It's like we can't even recreate many of them with our technology that we have today, which I personally find fascinating. You have stuff that was done, you know, centuries ago, you know, from Stonehenge to actually there's these kind of like monolith rocks actually in Carnac, France. That one's always fascinating to me. I believe it's like even like a couple of miles long, I want to say, and each stone weighs like two tons.
Yeah, and there's
Per
hundreds of
stone,
them. It's
hundreds
not
of
just
them.
one or two
Right.
placed in some, there's hundreds of them.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And they're all going at just a mile, like, yeah, just all separated. It's like, you know, they had to be placed there by man.
And it's not even that there's one place like that. There are
Right.
literally hundreds of those
Hundreds.
all over Europe and all over England,
Oh,
and they're
yeah.
starting to find them here and there all over the world. The other
Exactly.
thing is that all of what we consider to be our ancient sites like that,
Exactly.
almost everything has some basis in skywatching.
Right.
All of it is tracking celestial movement. They are
Exactly.
all super focused on celestial movement. The solstices, and I don't think it was just for rituals and planting things.
Right.
It seems to be just like over the top, too much focus on the sky. And
Right.
all the ancient peoples even have stories of those who came from the sky, or that
Yep.
the ancient origin stories were all that we came from the sky.
Exactly. I know, like with the solstice, they had like basically, I believe it's Mayan, and with one of the ancient sites there, it was built to where when the solstice would occur, it would actually highlight this very specific place of one of their, you know, buildings that looks kind of like the pyramids down there, right? But it was a very specific compartment in there, which.
Down in South America, where they built what one is a natural site where they set up some standing stones, and another couple of them are some of the pyramids that have been built,
Right.
and they have different functions that happen on some of the different solstices where like on one solstice, a jaguar will descend in shadow down the steps, and another one has a
Yes.
snake that
Right, right,
descends
right, 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 right.
down the steps.
Right.
But can you imagine the amount of engineering and planning that it took to create that idea, not only to figure out exactly which day it was going to be on, exactly how to orient everything, but then the structure and the building of the building with these ginormous blocks
Right.
in order to create something that has lasted, well, we like to say hundreds of years, but it's probably more like tens of
Oh
thousands of
yeah. Plus
years.
in those places, that's where they have like the different carvings and stuff where it looks like aliens. I mean, it's definitely has the shapes of people that are have enlarged heads. Now, some of them, which I find interesting, is we always talk about, you know, the aliens that are t small and short, you know, kind of talking about the
Like the
grays.
Atacama Desert alien, it's only like a foot and a half
Right.
tall. And
All
I think
right.
Stephen Greer was talking about that one a lot, where the early information that came back on that was that this was actually, it was less than 2 feet tall, but it was a fully formed being that was like 10 or 12 years old.
Oh wow.
It, yeah.
Interesting. I know that in some of them they actually had it to where they were very tall.
Yes.
So
Are you talking
I
about the giants? Because that's a whole different
well, it's actually
subgroup.
the ones that well kind of it was actually like I believe that might be going into actually the Sumerian tablets. Because I know like over there the carvings that were of what we would say aliens, they were actually tall. They were taller than the people, and they looked like they were represented as like almost these like kind of giant gods.
And the Egyptians also have that
Yep.
embedded in their carvings where the gods and or the pharaohs were 4 times taller than
Yep.
the normal people, and they
Exactly.
had the very long elongated heads.
Right.
And they even have that in some of the statues, the Nefertiti, the famous bust of Nefertiti.
Yep.
She has this extremely elongated skull cap, which they then
Yep.
have also found
Exactly.
in South America, where it has always been assumed by traditional archaeologists that these civilizations had no conversation with each other, but they seem to have all the same things going on. They have a type of hieroglyphic, the same type of building structures with the
Yep.
pyramids. Most pyramids in Egypt are the stepped pyramids. Only the ones at Giza had the outer shell on it, the casing stones that so they were originally completely smooth all the way
Right.
down until people came and took those and reused them in other temples.
Right.
But there's so much more similarity than they are different.
Oh, yeah. And archaeologists have actually discovered skulls that have the elongated, head, so it's like actually been dug up, which is pretty fascinating.
So at first people were trying to say, no, that's a style where you put the baby on a cradle board and then you wrap their
Right, right,
head
right.
and forcibly shape it. And yes, people did do that,
Correct.
but the ones that they're finding, these weren't like shaped and elongated. These are
Right.
different. These are like naturally occurring
Like a
super
big
giant
adult heads.
Right.
Domes. Yeah,
It wouldn't
it's
be formed exactly. It wouldn't be formed by the cradling, like you said. Like
right.
it would be a totally different
You can
type of
tell those
skull.
because there's some flattening. There's usually
Right.
flattening on the back of the skull or flattening across the
Right.
front. A lot of the Native American tribes were like recreating this. And
Yeah.
it's like, why would they recreate this?
Right.
Where did they see this? What are they trying to recreate?
Exactly. It's a very good point. Huh. Well,
So that's, I mean, we, whew,
we got so much here.
big old
Well,
conversation here.
so I'll jump actually to where you're t saying that basically, everyone. It's been a conversation that people have been having for a long time because obviously I feel like the ancient people, this wasn't something that was like, oh wow, what do you think? I think it might have been part of just their common life, their way of life. And then, we started all really talking about it basically when we had the Roswell crash that we know of at July 8th, 1947 in Roswell, New Mexico. So that's when everybody started knowing all about that. So one thing I thought was very interesting that, maybe not everyone's aware of is that there was actually two crashes, and there was the first crash, and then there was a crash a couple days later. And there was actually Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Richard French, and he was actually quoted saying that, there were actually two crashes at Roswell, which most people don't know. The first one was shot down by an experimental U.S. airplane that was flying out of White Sands, New Mexico, and it shot what was effectively an electronic pulse type weapon. It was disabled and took away all the controls of the UFO, and that's why it crashed. He said, when they hit it with that electric magnetic pulse, bingo, there goes all the electronics, and consequently, the UFO was uncontrollable. So then going to that first crash, that's when you have like tons of witnesses. So over the years, right, we've had a lot of different military personnel that were there at the crash sites, and they're finally speaking out, which I find is very interesting because obviously that had to be kept pretty hush-hush for a very, very long time.
Yeah, they were all like sworn to secrecy, but the interesting thing was that the day after that actual crash happened, the government themselves issued a statement saying that they had captured an alien craft.
Right.
And then the very next day, they came back and they changed their story and said that it was this balloon, pieces of balloon, but that they
Right.
had to pick up this pieces of this this weather balloon and transport it to a military base. Now, does that make any sense? Why would a weather balloon have to go to a military base to be checked out?
Right. Why would you do that? I mean, what I think is interesting, so you have like these military witnesses and a lot of them spoken out. So basically, they're even talking about how they were there to assist in removing the bodies. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they were told the bodies went to Kirkland Air Force Base and then on to Los Alamos, also in New Mexico. And
some of the first, one of the two went to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Yeah, so they actually said that there was four aliens in one ship and one was barely alive. I think that's pretty interesting because it's like, you know, we've not really been told that.
Right
from the government and the public that there was any aliens alive or even like they've always dismissed that there was any aliens, non-humans that were there, you know, in the first place.
What, in that weather balloon?
Yeah, in the weather balloon, exactly. Yeah. So these are witnesses that also spoke, you know, they've spoke separately, like at different times and stuff like that. Yeah. But they said that the one that was barely alive actually didn't die until 1952. So that's like around 5 years after the crash.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they said that the remaining bodies were set in a deep freeze and then sent to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. So after that, they had a briefing officer, and the briefing officer told them that there had been over 100 crashes in that Four Corners area.
Wow.
So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Another thing I found interesting was actually the body description. Mm-hmm. So they described that the bodies they saw were around 4 feet tall, mm-hmm. and they had spindly arms, just like long, you know, lanky arms, and that they had the enlarged head, of course, and that they were gray. So that's obviously where we talk about our grays, you know, the aliens there. Their ears, they just had holes and then an indentation for a nose and then very large eyes. And the fingers had no thumbs, so they just had the four fingers with suction devices on the tips of their fingers. Hmm. And they looked like they were nude, but they actually wore a very thin, tight-fitting suit.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. Yes. So what do you guys think about that? Jason and Amy, you've been quiet. We've been really just going on. I want to hear about this point.
That's a good time to bring up why Amy and I are so quiet.
Welcome to the Carolyn Interested Show on UFOs. Basically,
this is a really big interest for both Tristan and Carolyn. And I don't want to speak for Amy. She can speak for herself. But I'm of the belief that all of this is absolutely possible. And why wouldn't it be? I mean, there's so much space out there. Was it Contact where Jodie Foster is being asked if she believes in alien contact? Well, that are there aliens out there? And she says, well, if there's not, it'd be a great waste of space. So while I don't have any information on aliens, I haven't had any personal communications, it could, you know, there could be things that we experience that we call paranormal that are actually aliens, because if we're talking about the multiverse again, maybe there's a race, maybe they're not aliens, or some of them aren't, but they're people, another race right here going on exact same time this is going on. Mm-hmm. You know, just, and the same thing where we're tuning into things, we're picking up information. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of that goes together somehow.
Totally.
And I don't know how it goes together. So if I'm quiet, I'm listening to you. Mm-hmm. guys read about this, have the information. I find it very fascinating, and someday we're going to find out how this all connects.
Right.
How about you, Amy? Yeah, absolutely. I do believe in aliens. I do believe that they exist and have existed for a very, 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 very long time. I have a difficult time really going down the rabbit trail of aliens on my own, because it gets to be a bit overwhelming for me. And it's just sort of like when you start talking about how large space is, it's almost like this, you know, in all of the possibilities of what's really out there, it's just really, it's a little overwhelming. And so I kind of tend to just draw myself right out of it at that point. But it is fascinating. And so, Tristan, I know this is a big interest of yours, and I've sort of been, you know, a little bit more intrigued with what you've told me, you've learned, And I remember back when I was a young girl, and my dad, would tell me about these things that happened in Roswell, and I picked up the book Communion. He had that book Communion at his house, and I started reading that, and I remember I was just absolutely terrified. And just kind of put it down and never, ever, ever wanted to learn anything more about aliens. So there's that whole big fear aspect that I think, probably is created. I don't want to say by the government, but a lot of fear is created by the government in general. But I do believe it's just a bit overwhelming for me, all of the information that's out there. And when you start talking about how, people in the Bible were actually alien races, my mind just kind of starts to glaze over. It's almost like my brain just can't go there quite yet. I don't have my, I need to get my feet just flat on the ground when in my belief and my knowledge of aliens to actually kind of be able to go there and to listen to that.
That's an amazingly good point, though, because even though I'm open to these things, what you're describing, I have done as well on many other topics when I wasn't ready to deal with it. There's been a lot of things where I'll be sitting in a class and I'm super interested, a metaphysical or something class, and I'm super interested in what they talk about, but then they touch on something else. And they've gone to a point where I'm not ready for that information, and I just daze off, and I tune out of what they're talking about, and then I'll come back in afterwards, and I'm like, wow, I wonder what all that was, because I think that was probably interesting, but I'm not sure what any of that was about, and then I just go on with my life. And what I have found is that later on, I will come back around to things. Sometimes I have to revisit information 3, 4, 5 times before I've had a personal experience, or I've talked to somebody who said something where something finally clicked and some new piece of information is now available to me where I can deal with whatever else is coming. And based on our last podcast where we talked about our personal experiences, Jason and I have gone through a whole lot of that in the 25 years we've been together, where we started off with, I don't know why you're blowing out light bulbs, to, all the other experiences that we've had and the things that we deal with on a regular basis. The paranormal world is actually a very normal space for us now. So for me, this stuff is just an extension of that as well, because per our conversation, my grandpa was talking about his experiences, and from the time I was little, that was a normal thing in our household that he had seen UFOs a couple times, and we didn't have communion. We had the Project Blue Book. So I was early on flipping through Project Blue Book, and he was talking about the Philadelphia experiment, which is a whole nother situation. But I think your experience is the experience of a lot of people where kind of life here on the planet is hard enough. And sometimes just getting through the day to day is as much as anybody can deal with, let alone thinking about a whole galaxy of information. And I think a lot of people come to that, I'm drawing the line here and I'm shutting this down. I can't
Well,
think
yeah,
about it.
and there are these things that you that are so well established, or you think that they are so well established in the world, and maybe you don't truly believe in them, but you at least know them to be,
An anchor. It's an anchor.
like an anchor. It's like when someone comes along and says, the sky isn't really blue, you're like, what? But, it's kind of one of those things. So when people start talking about, well, Jesus was really of an alien race and God and blah, 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 it's like, what? I just can't, even if I don't truly understand and believe in the Bible, because there, I'm still learning about that. I can't say for certain, but to say those things, it's so out there. I'm not shutting it down. I'm just right. saying, whoa, I can't really go there right now.
Mm-hmm. I kind of think of it like a video game where you're on level one. And if you don't accomplish everything that you're supposed to accomplish on level one, you don't get to level two.
Right.
It's hidden behind a wall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm at that part right now where so much has been revealed to me over time, mm-hmm. where I can go back in time and say, at one point, I did not believe in this and I did not believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, why wouldn't I believe in
exactly.
that? It makes so much sense
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And maybe it's by design that our minds do that.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not ready for something, it kind of makes mm-hmm. our eyes glaze over when,
right.
when
oh,
we
absolutely.
Hear it. It's like, earmuffs, don't let him listen
we
to this right now.
Definitely do that, yeah.
But there will be a time mm-hmm. where it will all come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not at that point yet. I'm
right,
still at
right.
the getting right. my feet wet with the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that kind of, I'm fascinated when, like you say, you watch the shows with Karen or with Tristan.
You can watch them with me too. It's
watch them with Carolyn. I watch the same shows with Carolyn, and I'm in the background. I'm playing on my phone. I'm tuning in and out.
Yeah.
And as I'm ready for that information, some of it resonates, some
mm-hmm.
of it I find fascinating, and some of it I'm like, how can they tell me that they know for sure that there's this type of alien, this type of alien, this type
right,
of alien?
Right.
And then you got some
right.
wackos out there just throwing stuff
right,
out
right, right,
that
right,
makes
right.
no sense.
Right.
Right.
And maybe the other ones turn out to be right. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, just kind of being comfortable in that space and letting it reveal itself to me
mm-hmm.
when I'm ready. And
mm-hmm.
The thought of it being a natural process is kind of a cool
mm-hmm.
cool thought for
mm-hmm.
me.
I think that
yeah.
makes perfect sense, because a lot of times it's like when we've been so open, and as we are learning all these things, like for instance, all four of us, I feel like, are pretty open to a lot of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of hit a point where it's like, wait, am I going too far now?
Like this podcast.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I can believe
you know?
In all of this, but not that. So
right. It's like, is this where I go? And then I'm hitting like the real wacko cuckooville,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I go to there, if I cross that line, then it's
right.
just too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I agree, like, you have to just be able to learn this on your own time. For me, it's like I always had an interest, you know, as far as like in aliens and different stuff like that. My
mm-hmm.
dad, just like you were talking, you know, in the last podcast about your grandfather, my dad actually, he saw a UFO
mm-hmm.
up close. He was I think he said he was like around 17-18 years old, and he was in middle of nowhere in Alabama. And there was the whole, you know, the circular, you know, kind of spaceship. And he
mm-hmm.
said that it was pointed kind of like where the front was pointed down to him.
Hmm.
And it was just hovering. He said it had the lights going around and everything. And my dad being, you know, young at the time. And, you know, I think he really was like, hey, take me up there. You know, he got his flashlight and he started like trying to send signals to it. And they're probably looking at him like some, you know, should we take him? I don't know, man. He looks kind of crazy, but maybe we could, you know, maybe something we could learn from him. No. So finally, you know, they obviously decided we're going to take off. So my dad said that, you know, it was actually there for quite a bit. And then all of a sudden, it's like it went really quickly, zoop, really high up. And then it just stayed there for another second, and then it just went, whoosh, and then it just like went sideways, just completely
wow.
out of you know.
It's amazing.
It's
yeah.
a great sound effect for UFOs.
Yeah, yeah. Did great.
Thank you very much.
If they made any sound at all, that's what I would imagine. Yeah.
So I do want to ask a question though, because I there's so much conflicting information on whether aliens. And I think I know what you're going to say, but I am interested to hear whether aliens are harmful. Are
mm.
they something to be feared? Do they mean us harm? What's your take on that with all of the research that you've done? Should we be afraid? Because, I mean, pick up Communion and,
well,
you know, the book, and you'll be terrified that you're going to be abducted. You might not even be able to make it past, you know, I told Tristan started reading the book. I said, you're not going to make it past like chapter 4 or 5. And did you finish the whole?
I got towards the end. I mean, I know this might sound kind of strange, but I kind of started getting bored with it because I was learning so many other things.
Oh, yeah.
But that book is very interesting. And for people that don't know, it's basically, it's a an author that was in New York, and
Whitley
he ended
Shriver,
up,
I think his name.
and he ended up having alien encounters. And what was very interesting with that is that, you know, he was somebody when he first started reading the book, and he's saying, like, you know what, if you would have told me, you know, you could get abducted by aliens before it happened to me, I would have said you're crazy. He goes, that's what we say about a lot of these people. He says, you know, it's easy to say, oh, you're crazy. He goes, until it happens to you. And so I thought that was a very interesting statement, because that's true a lot of times, right?
Exactly.
That's in the paranormal world too. Most people think you're crazy if you talk about seeing ghosts or being a medium or a psychic until they have a personal experience, and then they go, oh,
right.
If you and I and all of us didn't all have experiences with the paranormal, we wouldn't be where we are right now, talking about what we are right now.
Right.
Just we all haven't had experiences that we're aware of with aliens.
Right.
So so we can see it from the people that don't believe in the paranormal. We can see that part from this point to where, oh, that's fascinating. Tell me more type of thing.
His experience was definitely, you know, more frightening when you read about it. Something that you probably don't want to happen to you. I think the scary part was, for me, how a lot of people don't even realize it. And then it starts with them almost having, like, kind of weird flashbacks. And so with him, it ended up being where he actually went to a hypnotist. And basically he was hypnotized. And that's how he started being able to say these things. And it was actually recorded. So they were being recorded. They come to find out there's other people that had been recorded, you know, not ever knowing him, no one knew each other, and they're talking about the same types of aliens, the same exact experiences, what the locations look like, the smells, everything. So to me, that's when it kind of gets like, oh, okay, huh. To me, I made the choice where I am saying, yeah, I believe that probably happened. To the guy. I definitely do. And
especially when there's independent people saying the same thing that don't know each other.
It's like
near death experiences, right?
Yeah.
It seems sort of like, oh, you just had some kind of fantasy dream or something. But no, they're all saying the same types of things over, you know, different countries, different religions. They're all talking about kind of the same experiences, not exact same, but
I find it really interesting, as long as you're talking about that depending on what your religion are and what your beliefs are, the near-death experience that you'll have, it's like the universe wants you to be really comfortable with the transition. So it appears to you in the way that you're going to understand and you're going to feel comfortable coming with them. So it could be your grandfather extending a hand, or a loved one, some other loved one, or it could be a religious figure like Jesus or Buddha or whoever it is on the other side to greet you.
And yet you believe in that.
I'm
not saying I don't believe in aliens. I'm saying I don't have any personal experience. And some of it can overlap with what I already believe. It could be explanations for phenomena I already understand. So
what do you think, Carolyn? Do you feel that aliens in general should be feared? Do you feel that they mean us harm, or
I think that we have been told that they need to be feared, and I think that has been sort of beat into us over and over through movies and TV shows and just the government in general, telling everybody that no, they don't exist, and now all of a sudden we need a space force because we need to have a war with somebody.
Right.
So it's my belief that they've actually been here all along, and that they've been overseeing us all along. And even if I didn't believe that, if I only thought that they had just now started showing up, they have to be so much more advanced than us to just get here. Because like you just said, for us to leave the planet in our 3D technology, it's going to take us 10 years to get from point A to point B. They're not going between solar systems or galaxies. They're not coming from some other place on the same type of technology that we have, which means that they are way, 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 way far ahead of us, which means that if they came here and they meant us harm, we would have been gone already.
I completely agree with you. This wouldn't even be a conversation.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be here to have this conversation. We would be done. So no, I don't think even for a second that they are harmful. There's a lot of people out there talking that there may be warring factions in the universe. And even though I don't know how to deal with that, because it seems like if that is a thing, that at this point we are somehow protected. Mm-hmm. And what whoever it is that's overseeing us seems to be keeping us insulated to some certain degree. And however, if you believe in the hermetic principles that everything is balanced and that that is an overarching, almost a universal guide for everything, then there has to be good and bad all over the universe as well. It has to be balanced everywhere, which means there probably are warring factions. So maybe we are just such a baby, a baby life form that is going through our growing phases. And now all of a sudden we're starting to learn about energy use and we're blowing up hydrogen bombs and nuclear atomic bombs, which is why I think, you know, we started physically seeing them on our planet more right after we did that in the 1940s.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's like they seem to have disappeared for a while. Everybody sort of knew about them, but then all of a sudden people started seeing them again. Because they don't want us to blow ourselves up.
Right.
And they don't want us to blow up anything else, because an atomic bomb going off or a hydrogen bomb going off or a nuclear weapon going off, if everything is energy, those energies are not just affecting us. They're affecting things through multiple dimensions. We're damaging things in ways we don't even know.
Right.
We're not even thinking about it. It's not even in our thought process to think that we might have damaged 10 other dimensions.
Right.
So
so we went from like our infancy where they said, don't wake the baby, and they're protective of us. Now we're toddlers just messing things up and they're trying to rein us in.
I think that's exactly kind of how things are going. So they're, so they see some people are sort of advancing and being sort of more awake. And so they're kind of revealing themselves in ways to the people that can kind of deal with it. And they're kind of seen, but they're not really seen. And then we've got our government, who's basically at some point we're gonna evolve enough on this planet that we don't want to fight with each other anymore. Everybody on this planet has been at war for all of our known history. We're just always trying to kill each other, and it's ridiculous. At some point, we're gonna get to the point where we don't want to kill each other anymore. But we have this. We have this all this money and this capitalism idea that's not only here but in all different places in the world, that all this money has to be funneled into this constant warring faction, which is why I think now all of a sudden this whole Space Force thing is coming up. Because if we're not going to continue to be at war with each other, we're going to have to be at war with something, which is why I think we've been constantly spoon-fed that they're bad. They're bad. So if we're not going to fight with each other, now we have to find a new enemy. And the new enemy, if it's not within, it's without.
Let me just say something really quick before you start. I don't think that in general, you know, aliens are bad. And I don't like reading about, you know, alien abductions and things like that. But I feel, I mean, you know, in talking to various people that believe in aliens and different alien races, that there are different, you know, it's not like one alien, one type of alien. It's like there are different alien races, not raisins.
There might be raisins.
Taste. I mean, that might kind of be delicious, like, but aliens, you know, it's a different kind of raisin.
Shrivelly things.
But
celestial trail mix.
Some may be harmful and others are more peaceful, right? Yes, and so
that's probably true.
So is that your understanding as well?
I feel like we're being protected right now, personally, because I completely agree that if something was going to happen to us, it would have happened, because I do not think that we on Earth are able to protect ourselves from aliens.
Right.
It would just be, I mean, it's kind of laughable, actually.
Yeah.
I do believe that there probably, I do believe that there are different alien races, and I do believe there are some that are not friendly And I would say that if they are trying to even attack us right now, I think there are friendly ones that are trying to keep them from doing so to us.
It's like they're allowed to tinker a little
Little
bit with
bit.
that whole abductions and genetic, messing with genetics and whatnot. That whole, people find them, their memories seem to pop up on an operating table of some sort, and there's weird hybrid things that may be happening, which we don't seem to understand or know much
Right.
about. But they don't seem to be trying to destroy us.
No. I think
There's,
they're trying to protect us. And I mean, one thing I thought was really interesting, I can't remember the exact facility right now, but it was a nuclear facility where we had, I mean, a ton of missiles, okay? And it was reported by someone that worked at the facility, and they went on, reporting about this as a witness, said that they had seen, a UFO, and they, were kind of getting really paranoid about it because it was like right there where all these nuclear, warheads were. And all of a sudden, they all became unarmed. They could just see them beep, beep, beep. He's all simultaneously just bloop. It's like they couldn't be used. And I, in just a weird way, when I heard that, I just kept thinking, like, that's kind of interesting because it's like, I mean, first of all, there's other stories saying that we've tried to use missiles actually on them and it hasn't worked because they can just zip, 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 zip. I mean, we can't even do anything with a missile. So I don't feel like they were there turning off the missiles, like, okay, I'm here. You can't get me now. They wouldn't be able to get them anyway. So it's just interesting with that. Also, I believe that when you have, so for instance, like Sharon Lewis, Aurora, I mean, her one of her guides is Arcturian. So that's a type of alien race. And that's, and it's not just her. Obviously, there's a lot of people out there that they can channel different aliens, and that they are actually trying to help us. And they have messages of hope and actually, saying about how we are destroying ourselves, which Hyla took around. We are,
We are.
you
We're destroying
know?
the whole planet and everything on
Exactly.
it. Yep.
And so for me, I just think that's pretty interesting. When you're talking about kind of like, the whole end of the world and the fear, one thing that is, just been kind of thrown out there is, well, maybe they're putting on this fear about aliens because we've had what's called black flags, and black flags are where supposedly, the government has actually done things and they've made it look like somebody else. And but yet it's actually been, the government kind of causing different, very horrible events in history to occur. And so one thing
Multiple
they
times,
multiple
and they've even
times,
admitted it.
right? So with a black flag, they said that the ultimate one would actually be where it would be an alien war. So I did find it interesting, with them talking about having like a whole space force, because one thing that we have developed, is called alien reproduction vehicles. So we have had the ability now to create spacecraft that looks exactly like UFOs. And this is actually something that we even knew about in World War II. So World War II Nazis under Hitler, they actually created a UFO saucer that they named the Flying Bell. And you can look up photos of this, and it actually shows where there is a ship that it completely looked like it could be a UFO. Going deeper into this, okay, so I have to tell you. So there's Ben Rich. Ben Rich, he was the second director under the Lockheed Skunk Works project, and he actually succeeded Kelly Johnson. So this was actually, he was the head of that from 1975 to 1991, so a long time. And also, what's interesting about Rich is that he was regarded as the father of stealth because he actually was one of the people that was responsible for leading the development of the F-117. The
The
first production stealth
stealth bomber.
aircraft, exactly. So in a quote, Ben actually says, he says, "We have things flying in the Nevada desert that are 50 years beyond what you can comprehend. If you've seen it on Star Wars or Star Trek, we've been there, done that, or decided it wasn't worth the effort." So interestingly enough, as much as we can backstep now saying we don't have the technology, we possibly have the technology, but we aren't aware of it. And in a very interesting letter, actually, Ben Rich, they have it, and you can actually look this up. It's on Lockheed Advanced Aeronautics Company letterhead. So Ben Rich wrote this to a close friend of his named John Andrews, and he said, "I am a believer, and so is Kelly Johnson." So just so you know, Kelly Johnson is Clarence Kelly Johnson, and he was an aeronautical engineer, and he actually designed elements of the U.S. spy plane, also known as the U-2. So he's talking about him. And so John Andrews replied the letter. And this is interesting. He goes, "There are two categories: A, man-made UFOs, so those are our, alien reproductive videos, and B, extraterrestrial UFOs." And Ben Rich replied, "Yes, I'm a believer in both categories. I feel anything is possible. Many of our UFOs are unfunded opportunities." And in both categories, there's a lot of kooks and charlatans, so be cautious. And that's another thing we were just kind of talking about a little bit, is you're going to have on both sides, you know, the people that are going to make things seem very strange, right? So, you know, I know one show that we watched is Ancient Aliens, and you know, there's so much information on there, but of course you're going to have sometimes people on there that are so-called experts, and it's going to be like, you know, it's like, you know, everything is going to be like, and this happened, but we know it was aliens, you know? And it's just like, it does make it seem a little kooky and a little outlier from some people, but then you hear from experts and stuff like that, or it's scientists and different things, and then it's like, then you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, the way you're talking is making a lot more sense. But yet some of these people that are quote-unquote kooks actually have a lot of information too, you know? So it's just, it's very, it is interesting, and I can see where it's like, with what Ben Rich said, it's like, you know, kind of just be cautious. And I feel like that's actually a pretty important statement, because you are going to get so much different type of information once this topic arises.
Right. Be cautious. But I think one thing about the kooks is that if the aliens are abducting people, I'm guessing to study us,
right,
or check up on us, because we're not going to their place to get regular checkups, so that's the way they got to do it.
Right.
They're not going to.
It's just your friend, the neighborhood medical clinic flying in.
Someone with like a master's degree or anything like that. They're picking up random people, and every once in a while, you're going to get someone that you normally wouldn't trust anything coming out of their mouth.
Right.
And they're saying some weird stuff. But that also has to be considered, too.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes they're going to get people who
sometimes
are
just
totally
nuts.
Reliable, and when they say it, people are also going to think that they're crazy,
right?
Completely.
Because they just don't want to believe.
That's an evolution.
Anything that's happening in the
process.
It's going
to take a
process.
Lot of time.
That was the end of part one. Now go ahead and listen to part two.